We are probably the women here know better than me that we have Pesach up ahead. Different people at different stages. I don't know exactly what stage each of you are at, but I'm proceeding with the premise that Pesach involves work. So my wife tells me. And that's what we'll be touching on now, Bezos Hashem. It's interesting because Pesach brings together a certain.
Are you muted?
We
I can't
muted.
hear
Oh,
you.
let's mute. Okay, 1 minute. I thought we were muted.
No, we hear you.
You hear me now?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, we should hear you. Yeah.
Now you hear me well? You can't respond. Okay, just write yes. Okay. Okay. Pesach, on the one hand, is the yomtiv in which we're supposed to internalize the most basic truths of everything. Pesach is where we're introduced to Hashem. That's really the essence of Pesach. The concept of celebrating Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just about, oh, it's a good thing. We were slaves and we got out, and now we're not slaves anymore. The whole process of being slaves and Hashem taking us out was really for the purpose of Him introducing Himself to us. And therefore, Pesach, with the different mitzvahs involved, the Leila Seder, is about allowing ourselves to be reintroduced to Hashem. And perhaps we'll elaborate on that a little bit. But right now, I'm just stating in a brief way because I want to state two sides of a coin. On the other hand, we don't say, okay, so spend the time leading up to Pesach, spend Pesach itself in deep contemplation, in meditation, etc. No, we're very, very busy. We're very busy in the weeks leading up to Pesach. There's a lot of activity. We're very busy on the Leil HaSeder itself. There's so many different things going on. And this can very much bring to fore the question of, don't the Maisim just get in the way of really being able to connect to the spirituality of it? Or let's ask the question from another angle. I guess everybody knows about the cardiac Jew, right? What's in the heart is the main thing. That's really what counts. What you do is not really what's important. The main thing is what's in the heart. We've all heard that. We've heard it in Hebrew from taxi drivers. We heard it in English from the person sitting next to us on the plane. We've heard it in all kinds of different forms and expressed in all kinds of different ways. It's a very, compelling sounding argument. So first, let's just address the issue on a bit of a broader scale, and then let's talk about Pesach. We agree. It's mainly about the heart. The Torah says, Rachmana libo boy. It's mainly about the heart. But our question is, how do we test whether the heart is in the right place or not? Say the heart, the heart, the heart, the heart. But is the heart beating strong enough to get you off the couch? If not, then maybe your heart is not in the right place. So we say, well, I feel very connected to Hashem in my heart, et cetera, et cetera. But we want to test that connection. And we want to see it expressed through dedication, real dedication, not theoretical dedication. I'm cutting straight to the point. If I was speaking to a different crowd, I'd probably have to build it up in many more steps. But I think that for us, I can cut straight to the point and then build on it rather than work too hard developing the point. But yeah, the Maisim is the realm where the heart is tested. This is where we prove the heart. You feel connected to Hashem. How dedicated are you really? Can it really get you to exert yourself? Can it get you to override other desires? Yes, my heart, my heart, my heart. But there are things in the heart, our ego might also be in our heart. And here the question is, when you're provoked, what's higher up in your heart? Hashem or your ego. The ego is also something to worship. Or is my love for a certain type of food higher up in my heart? So then we say, okay, this is about, yeah, we it's all about the heart, but we want to actually gauge what's where in the heart.
Okay. So, but the
question.
Heart, let's say you do all this cleaning on top of working full time, and then you start to feel resentful in your heart.
Okay,
so,
let's see if we can get to everything.
I
no, that's not a good thing. Let's see if we can get to everything. We will say, though, at the output, that the truth is that the higher levels of Avodas Hashem are about juggles. But Victor Miller often said that for the more advanced, conscientious Avodas Hashem, it's more often, meaning less often about choosing between bad and good, and more often about choosing how to do the good right, choosing between good and better, and juggling between various goods. So we'll just lay that down in a general way right now. So I'm putting down the test to the heart in three realms. A, can it get you to move? Can it get you to override convenience? B, can it get you to hold back? Meaning, when we put it up against other things that are in your heart and also competing, which will win? And C, can it get you to spend money? This is an important point because, and we'll develop this as we go along. But from life, and particularly Yom Tov season, is more expensive in many different ways. In many different ways, we all know this. And we may sometimes not appreciate the value of it. Meaning, even if you're not, you'd be fine with it. You know, you don't have a problem with it. Yes, it costs more and you're fine with that. But appreciate it a little more in order to really gain the maximum benefit of it, and appreciating that it's actually an end in itself. It's not just the technicality. Kosher food requires more resources and therefore it costs more. Okay. Yom Tov. Matzahs are expensive. Yom Tov is expensive. And therefore, yes, there's more money, there's more cleaning help. What are you going to do? But to appreciate that, no, it's actually a part of our demonstration of our dedication. This is a point that the Kuzari makes very powerfully. When he talks about the Aliyah L'Regel, he stresses not only the essence of the Aliyah L'Regel, but the money it involved, making the whole trip with the whole family. So we're talking about three areas where I'm coming and saying, I have my heart in the right place. You say, do you? Okay, three tests. How much can it get you to move? How much can it get you to hold back? Or are there other things that are higher up? I mean, that would really be the question. And can actually get you to spend money. If you can answer, check off all those three, then yes, you've proven yourself to be worthy of the title of connected with Hashem and Oved Hashem, a loyal child of Hashem. That's on the one hand. But now on the other hand, meaning two sides of kind of like the same, we're saying here how Maisim are a demonstration of what's in the heart, an expression of what's in the heart. But now I want to actually take it to another level and make the following statement. This is very fundamental to understand also. Maisim actually shape the heart. And this is a bit of a bigger chiddush. This may be a little less intuitive, but let's appreciate the point. Let's appreciate the point. We, whether we like it or not, we are flesh and blood. And here again, often people, and we all know people like this, people who are very spiritual, people who are very spiritual and lofty in their feelings, but yet somehow remains completely detached from their conduct in the day-to-day when they're not actually involved in spirituality, when they're not sitting and singing, when they're not at the, you know, at the bonfire or whatever it is, when they're actually dealing with other people or going about their lives. It can be a complete no shaykhus, no connection between the two. Because don't really think that you're all heart. We're flesh and blood. And whether we like it or not, our flesh and blood has a lot of say. Has a lot of say into who we are, where we put ourselves, how we conduct ourselves. So don't just say my heart is in the right place, because your heart is a part of you. We want to make our heart the predominant force. So we want to get to. But before talking heart, say, okay, yeah, but how much of you is heart and how much of you is flesh and blood? How much of you is just raw emotions that are not necessarily what you would like to portray as your heart? Here, we come to another very fundamental point, and that is that maisim are actually what we use to pound our heart into the ring. Or I should say it like this, to pound our flesh and blood into the same track as our heart is. Yes, our heart could be in the right place, but if the flesh and blood is in a different track, which is very common, if the flesh and blood are in a different track, then don't identify yourself as heart. You're somewhere in the middle and probably more close to the flesh and blood, because they will probably dictate more of your life. Again, we're putting this very bluntly. And again, I feel like that with our crowd, I don't need to build it up too much. I think we have enough. We've learned enough to be able to understand these points. So don't want to say, you know, your heart is in the right place. Okay, but what place does your flesh and blood hold? And how does the equation lamaisa weigh out? We bring our flesh and blood on board by pummeling them with maisim. And that's how we break our flesh and blood into the harness, into the same track of where our hearts are. And by doing that, our heart is up against less competition. The heart itself gets enhanced. In other words, we shape ourselves through our bodies, through our maisim also. This is the famous principle. It's expressed in many ways in the different svarim, and it's also basic psychology, lahavdil. But we have terms like chitzonius, mayoritas, hapnimius. You know, it's your outward acts that get your inner feelings going. Adam nifal kafi pe'ulot. So chitzonius, mayoritas, hapnimius, that's the term of the Mesilas Yesharim. Ha'adam nifal kafi pe'ulosov. Man is affected by his actions. That is the term of the Sefer Achinuch, the same famous term. And of course, there's the famous Rambam. The Rambam says that if you want to turn yourself into a charitable person, you have $200 to give to tzedakah. So instead of giving $200 at once, always walk around with a few dollars on you and give a dollar at a time or half a dollar at a time, giving a sum that means something. But and the more people approach you, you're making yourself into a more charitable person. I think I've also told this story. Chaim Brisker was famous for his generosity. There are mamish wild stories about his generosity. Just his home was the original Beit Achlama. Women in childbirth used to go to his home after they gave birth for a few days of relaxation. They had meals ready, but one thing they had to put up with was many other people also. There wasn't much privacy there. If you were able to deal with that, his home was open. It was Mamish Grand Central Station. People came in. There was always food being put out. And many stories told about his generosity. So sometimes somebody once commented something to him about his generous nature. And Reb Chaim responded, almost offended. He said, "I don't have a generous nature." He said, "The first time I gave away a significant chunk of money that I wasn't obligated to give," many of these things we give automatically because we know we have to. He said, "The first time I gave away a significant chunk of money that I wasn't obligated to give," he said, "I felt like a limb was being cut off." And so then I did it again. Still felt that way, but it hurt a little less. And I did it again. Then I did it again. And then, yeah, ultimately became second nature. It's not my nature. It's my second nature. Or to put it a little differently, if you'll allow me, we'll dig a little deeper for a moment and then we'll come back to the point. Here's the way I heard it from one of my rebbes. He said, really what we're trying to do with our avodah is to shape our heart. That really is what we're trying to do. To put our heart, what we mean by our heart, we mean our psyche, meaning who I am. What are my likes? What are my dislikes? Where do I jump? Right? What makes me jump? What makes me respond? What triggers me? We would like all that to be Avodas Hashem. Now we can control what goes into our minds. We can decide what I want to put into my mind. I can decide I want to learn a certain sefer, et cetera, et cetera. We can also control what we do. But it's very hard to actually access. I mean, you can access our bodies, make them do things. You can do it, right? You can access your mind. You can put things into your mind by reading. But it's very hard to access that level of you, the heart as in what actually makes you go, what actually makes you tick, to decide, I want to be excited about this. I don't want to be excited about that. I want to dislike this and like that. I want to love Avodas Hashem and feel dedicated to it. I want my heart to drive me to do mitzvahs. I don't want to just do mitzvahs. I want my heart to drive me to do mitzvahs. That's harder to access. And the way we access it is, yeah, by assaulting it from both directions. We assault it from the inside, meaning by learning, by a lot of learning. We all realize that learning doesn't necessarily cover that gap. We can learn things and still be detached from them. And we assault it from the outside, by pounding it from the outside in, through meisim. Again, meisim. And I'll just tie up this part of the discussion with, I think, probably an example that we've given in the past. We've given the example of the Baal Tshuva keeping Shabbos. Okay, if nobody's nodding, then I'm going to allow myself to do it again, even if it's the repetition. But this really brings that out point. Let's think about new Baal Tshuva. Baal Tshuva has been learning up to, you know, learning about Shabbos, etc. Has been to Shabbos Sudas and never hasn't yet really fully observed the full Shabbos, but his mom is getting there. Mom is getting there. And now he's actually ready to make that step, and he's going to, as the whole package together, he's going to keep his first Shabbos. But all the way, all the way. He's inspired. He's learning about it. He's hearing shiurim and doing it all right. From Wednesday, he's already building it up. And Friday, you know, he goes to the mikveh and he says shir hashirim and everything, okay? Half hour before Shabbos, he gets a message about a $50,000 deal that he can make if he will dedicate the next 2 hours to it. With Chil Shabbos, on the phone, on the computer, etc., etc. Now remember, this person has never really kept a full Shabbos yet. They're already on the track. Well, but the person is very inspired and fired up. What will happen? I'm not sure. Is it likely that the person will say, okay, you know what? Next week will be the week. Is that conceivable? Next week will be the week. It's conceivable, not necessarily, but definitely conceivable. It's a very serious nisayon. That's for sure. Definitely conceivable. And I would even say, if we're talking in a general scale, probably more likely. Not sure. Now, let's take this same person, fast forward 15 years. This person has already been keeping Shabbos for a while. He's married, raising a family. Now it's 15, 20 years forward. This person has been from already for 15, 20 years. And you know what? By now, you know what Friday looks like? It looks like the same as it looks in my home and your home. There's the grind. There's the lachat of somehow we just switched the clock, but still it goes till the last minute. And, you know, it's Friday afternoon. And Shir HaShirim, it's been weeks, it's been years since he sat down for Shir HaShirim on Erev Shabbos. And you know, the house is a mess and things are flying and he's worn out and run down and trying to keep up and the clock is ticking. And he forgot all the Shirim that he heard about Shabbos in the past, okay? But he's been from for 20 years. Beautiful family. They're keeping him very busy right now. Beautiful family. Now, half hour before Shabbos, the same thing happens. $50,000. Now, again, remember, this person is much less inspired now. Will the person do it?
No.
Absolutely not. Here, it's not even a question. Right? For any of us, it's not even a question. What's the difference? The difference is that in the first place, the person was very inspired. His heart. But the flesh and blood weren't really on board. The raw emotions weren't really on board. But you know what? Many weeks of keeping Shabbos, of another Shabbos, of another Shabbos, of another Shabbos. And each time, training himself by, wasn't $50,000 at stake, But it was a light off in an inconvenient place. And he didn't turn on the light. And, you know, something he forgot to put on the oven was still cold. He had to be mevater on it. Little things, little things, little things. But again and again and again and again, by now, it's really been pounded into him. This is the koyach of mice. So let's appreciate that. Now let's come back to Pesach and Erev Pesach. Oh, well. Okay. I'm looking at the clock, and I was not thinking before this year that maybe we'd actually get two subjects.
Oh.
We're starting over first. Let's get back to Pesach. So here, I want to approach this from two angles. Rabbi Yochum of Lovitz puts it down this way. All the preparations that we're doing for Pesach, let's talk about cleaning the house. What are we in essence doing? We are doing many maisim and a lot of activities to ensure that what? That I'm not going to be over and over. It's a very unusual din, the isser of having chametz in your home. I don't think there's any other way to say that requires so much effort to be mekayim, that I have to exert so much energy to make sure that I'm in line with Hashem's ratzon. So Rabbi Yochum says it like this, and I think this is a line that everyone should put on their fridge. Seriously, I'm serious. This is so powerful. He says, by the time you come to Pesach, you've been after whatever amount of time it was. He, even just from the pure halachic perspective, bedikas chametz, okay, of really searching the house. Now, we are busy preparing for bedikas chametz in those weeks in advance. We don't leave it all for bedikas chametz and then spend the night trying to make sure the house is free of chametz. We know that doesn't work. We're busy for weeks in advance doing what? What are you doing? What are you doing with that extra vacuum and the extra scrubbing, etc.? I want to make sure that my life is going to be in line with Ratzon Hashem. It's another act of that. Another act of that. Another act of aligning yourself with Ratzon Hashem. Another act of aligning yourself with Ratzon Hashem. Some more sweat for aligning yourself with Ratzon Hashem. Some more going to sleep late for aligning yourself with Ratzon Hashem. Exertion, energy, activity for aligning yourself with Ratzon Hashem. And Biruchim says, can you imagine how much zikuch and tara you are doing to your nefesh by doing all that in a general way? The Arizal says in a general way, sweat that a person sweats when engaged in a mitzvah is cleansing his neshama. It's a powerful, think of it as a bath that's cleansing the neshama. So he says the zikuch and the tara that a person is putting himself through, he says by the time you hit Erev Pesach, his lashon is, HaYehudi shel Erev Pesach, meaning now it's chatzos, the deadline hit, Tzreifas chametz is over. All you see are the piles of half-burnt chametz in the streets outside. That's another problem. We're not going to talk about that now. But if you want a good meal, the moment before, at the end of the end of this month, go to one of the places where you know the public Tzreifas chametz. You have a good meal of fresh, unburnt bread, crackers, etc. Just scrape off a little bit of the ashes, and you have piles of cereal and good things. Okay, why am I saying that? My point really is don't rely on those Tzreifas. But back to our point. You're finished. Tzreifas chametz is finished. And the house is ready. He says, HaYehudi shel Erev Pesach ein bria she'yachol la'amod b'chitzosay. Moved himself into a zone that no other creation can approach. A zone of tara, a zone of kedusha, a zone of... You've been scraping your house. You've been scrubbing your house, but your nefesh now, with every scrub, your nefesh now is something pure, is something shiny. It's something that has been through weeks of you pounding your flesh and blood into that place of Ratzon Hashem is the top priority in my life. That's what your nefesh is reflecting now. This is the Yehudi shel Erev Pesach, the Tara of the Erev Pesach Jew.
I know what your answer is going to be, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
Let's say your mitzvah is to spend a lot of money and go away for Pesach. So you look forward to going away for Pesach and not feeling like a slave, feeling like a queen at your Seder table on a vacation. Now you're going to tell me that doesn't do anything for your soul, that you're spending a lot of money, and that's not easy.
I'm not going to tell you that. Not going to tell you. See, here's the question. This is, of course, the classic question of, you know, what if a person does go to a hotel or to a cruise or anything else and just locks up the house and spends the money? And the answer to that can be a number of different things. The answer to that can, on the one hand, one answer could be, this is Ratzon Hashem, and do it with an appreciation that that is Ratzon Hashem. Another answer to that could be, you're escaping Avodas Hashem, and you are selling yourself short in terms of what your Pesach could have been worth. Which of the two is it? Or anywhere in between? And it can be anywhere in between. Yes, a person has to make their own cheshbon. But the aside of it is, don't run away from dedicating your efforts, etc., to Hashem. If you're doing it because it's just easier that way, and why bother, you know, then it's a shame. But when you're doing it because, I know a chasheva person who spoke very strongly against the Pesach vacations, made very powerful points about it. And then when his family went through some very tough times. And he unabashedly began taking his family to those Pesach programs. And wasn't at all embarrassed to say, that's right, I still believe everything I said, and this is what I have to do for my family now. And he's telling me to ask him about it. So, yeah. Like we said before, it's about the juggle. I will say, I think I've said this in the past, that I was one time many years ago, I was invited to be the so-called scholar in residence at one of these fancy Pesach programs in Switzerland. I told this to my kids yesterday at Shalosh Shudas. I said, "Don't be so disappointed. It was before most of you were born, but we were invited. Probably, I don't know, 16 years ago." Very enticing. And I remember we were just trying to find out the technicalities of it and the kashrus and the ashgacha. I wasn't familiar with it. I wrote from Switzerland. So I spoke to an older relative who lived in Zurich, cousin of my father-in-law. And this was, you know, a chassidish yid with the old flavor. And I've been telling me, you know, no, the rav is he's a fine rav, and it's et cetera. And then he said, like, but the certain... He said, but you know how it is. It's almost like he said, I want you to be aware. You know how it is in these places. Erev Pesach is, he said, like in Yiddish, with the Yiddish expression, it's a holiday. You know, it's a holiday. It was almost like he said, you have to be aware of that before you go. You have to realize the cons. He was saying in a very sincere way. It wasn't like he was trying. He was saying, you know how it is in these places. Erev Pesach is a holiday. And, you know, at that point in life, I was like, yeah, right. That's what we're talking about. Okay. We didn't end up going. I wish I could say it was because of my piety, but it happened not to work out.
Oh.
I don't know what I would have decided. But now I appreciate more the point that he was trying to make. And that is, we want to come into Pesach as Avdei Hashem. There's always the clause of you have to know your needs, etc. But let's talk about the concept. Let's talk about the concept. When I come into Pesach saying, we have earned the glorious title of Avdei Hashem. So you know what? I'm not going to talk. If you have your deliberation of what you should be doing, I'm setting that aside now. I'm talking to those of you who are going to be putting in that work and exerting yourself and sweating, spending the money to get the help, etc., etc. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Go about it with a sense of mission. Go about it with a sense of appreciation of what you're actually bringing yourself to, what you're actually doing for yourself with all that. And to add to that, another side of the coin, this is a point that Rabbi Isaac Sherman, of Avigdor Miller's Rebbe, he said that it's very fascinating. We talk about the Arba Bonim in the Haggadah, the four sons. And four sons. The significance of the four sons is really worth its whole shmuz by itself. Now, the Shea Torah is really demonstrating how I'm not giving up on anybody. I want every last child. That's what the Torah is usually, What's the whole significance of the whole four sons thing? It's like a cute thing. What's the vart? Like, what? It's very powerful. The Torah is sparse on words. The Torah keeps things very short, right? It leaves things for elaboration of the Chacham. Whole parshiyos are included in three succinct words, right? But here, the mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias, telling it to your sons, the Torah hits it from four different angles, which is something that needs to be understood. Why is the Torah here suddenly spending so much words? So Chazal said, you know what the Torah is doing here? The Torah is showing you can have all kinds of different children. Hit this one like this, hit that one like that. I don't want to lose any of them. That's really the message of the Arba Banim. It's the message of the understanding how much each individual is cherished by Hashem, that the Torah is uncharacteristically generous in its words. Hit this one like this, get that one like that. So the most counterintuitive one here is the Ben Rush. It looks like he's just being given a knock in the teeth and get him off the scene. It's not what's happening here. Let's appreciate what's actually happening with the Ben Rush, and this will bring us back to our point. The Ben Rasha is not the kid who's just saying, I want out. And we tell him, well, if you want out, goodbye and good luck. That's not what's happening. He's coming with a certain understanding. We're countering that understanding with a powerful message that's actually meant to get him onto the right track. What is he coming and saying? He's not the guy who wants out. He wants all the privileges of the Jewish people. He says, Maha avodah zeh. And this is going to sound like something very contemporary, but this is actually the Rishonim on the Haggadah. They say his argument is like this. Listen to what he's saying. He's sitting at the Seder. Magid is taking a long time. And he says, Ma ha-tircha zoi shartem ha-trichim aleinu. Then you have, Mitzi Matzah, and tomorrow. But by the time you get to the meal, it's already late, and there's so many different things you have to go through. He says, why do we need all this? He comes with a from argument. You hear this all the time. What about Simchas Achag? That's what the Rishonim say. What about Simchas Achag? Aren't we supposed to be enjoying Yom Tov? What's all this bother? Why is it so schleppy? Why do we have to be doing all these things? Hashem wants us to enjoy. That's what he's coming and saying. Have a mitzvah of Yom Tov. And what's the father's? And that's Maha Avoida. Why the Avoida? Hashem wants us to enjoy. Hashem wants us. Yom Tov is supposed to be beautiful. Why all this bother? What's the response to that? The response to that is Ba'avur Zeh also Hashem li b'tzeis in Yitzchak. Yes, Hashem wants to privilege us in great ways, but He also wants to see our dedication to Him. It's not a one-sided street. Hashem has a lot to offer us, but Ba'avur Zeh, it's for that Avoida. Hashem wants to see our dedication to Him. Hashem wants to see our efforts to Him. And that is the system that He set up. The person who comes and says, I want the privileges, but I'm not interested in the work. I'm not interested in proving my dedication. Those are not the people Hashem was trying to bring out of Mitzrayim. Hashem wanted people who He could have a passionate, mutually dedicated relationship with. Those are the people that Hashem wanted. Therefore, Rabbi Isaac Sher comes and says, this Avoida is also what we are demonstrating in the weeks leading up to Pesach, in the efforts that we put in the measures that we take. When we actually come to Pesach, when we move into Pesach and our Kiyum of the Mitzvahs is backed by all that effort, it gives the mitzvahs that much more weight. It gives the mitzvahs that much more weight, which means that our Pesach is that much more of a higher Pesach. So these are all points to take with us now to appreciate the privilege of the title, the very great title of being an Oved Hashem, of Hashem recognizing, Avdi Yaakov, you are my Eved. Yisrael, Hashem b'chol espar, the Yisrael not only that I'm showering my love on, but the Yisrael that I take pride in, and look how dedicated he is to me. Okay. I see we have a question here that will. A question on the wording of the four sons. If they're naming one as a Rasha, shouldn't the counterpart be Tzadik and not Chacham? And shouldn't the counterpart to the Chacham be Am Haaretz? Oh, interesting question. Good question. Chacham, Rasha, Tam, Sheini, Yodea, Lishon. So it seems like the Chacham and the Rasha are opposites. But are the Chacham and the Rasha opposites? There's Rasha and Tzadik, and there's Chacham versus Tipish, I'm Aretz, right? So I'll give the annoying answer, and then I'll give what I perhaps is a less annoying answer. The annoying answer is they're not necessarily opposites. Right? Tam and Inya De'alishal aren't opposites. So if we're just talking strictly the actual wording of it, isn't really meant to be opposites. Each one is its own story. What is the Torah addressing here? What's the Torah addressing here? That said, that's the more annoying question, technical answer, okay? But that said, if you want a little bit of a less technical answer, to an extent they are opposites, meaning as follows. The Chacham, where do we see his Chacham? His Chachma is in the fact that he is delving into the details and seeking to expand his understanding. He is a seeker. He's a mevakish. Or, if we'll put it into different words, use of Victor Miller's language, he's the idealist. Right? Mo avoido ashotziva Hashem elikeichem, I got exactly the lotion. Ashotziva Hashem elikeichem elikeinu eschem. Hashem, our God, what did he command you? Meaning, you have the information, but he's my God also. That's the lotion. What is it that Hashem, our God, commanded you? You have the information. You know what the commands are. You received those commands. I haven't yet. But he's my God also. I want to know what they are. He's seeking to know, right? And therefore, the answer to him is, you see that he's seeking the knowledge. So, afata. Get it with him to all the details. Go further than he actually asked. Don't just answer his questions, but take it further. Take it further. He's a mevakish. He's seeking. He wants more. Pack it on. Pile it on. Encourage that direction. The Rasha is the guy who's going in the opposite direction. The Chacham is the one who has the wisdom to seek. The Rasha is the one who, it's not just that he's ignorant. He could be very wise, but he's pushing in the other direction. He would like to reduce. To dilute. Why does it have to be so intense? Let's see if we can water it down. Let's see if we can make it easier. Let's see if we can make it just fun. That's why they're both going in opposite directions. The Chacham is seeking to get the full picture, to expand. The Rasha is seeking to dilute. Okay, yes, question.
So what if you have a child that wants out? You said the Rasha doesn't want out. The child is just rejecting everything. Is that included in the four sons, or that's not
the same? So what about the child who actually does want now? And here we have to say that the four sons are giving us direction. The direction that we're getting for the four sons is find the way to get through to each one. You have the way to get through to the Chacham, to the Rasha, to the Tam Sheinu De'Alisha. The message of it is, I don't want anyone to fall between the cracks. I don't want to lose any of them. Find the way to get through. We may have to find ways of, is going to be the levels between the Chacham and the Rasha, between the Rasha and the Tam, and between the Tam Sheni and the Elisha. You're going to have to tweak the degrees. We may say that the one who wants out, if you want to categorize him, he may be more in together of the Inya de Elisha. What's the message of the Inya de Elisha? He's just coming in. There's all no questions. Not interested. Find the way to interest him. Find a way to bring him on board. Like that's at psachloi. You figure out what will motivate him. So the answer, Lamaisa, is when we're talking about any kind of child that doesn't neatly fit one of the categories, we go back to the broader message. The broader message is that Hashem is saying, I'm going to expend many more words to show you that I don't want to lose any one of them. And here I'll add another point. If you say, but I don't have a means of getting through, appreciate the value in just providing the experience. Appreciate the value in just providing the experience. You may not always see the immediate effect. But it's the Inya De'Elisha in that sense. Provide the experience, provide the warmth, provide the atmosphere of the Leil HaSeder, and that's how you're trying to get through there. Okay. Agut Tavach, we should all be zeichet tetaka b'mekayim, all these mitzvahs behavior. Next question.
Have to put on the refrigerator.